verse 43 through 72. The Lord was speaking to me as we was worshiping, and if I raise my hand, you're going to see that note on my hand. That note is for you. So. Mark chapter 14, verse 43 through 72. It says, immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the high priest or the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him and lead him away safely. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and they took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. That's the name is Malchus. It's in another gospel. Then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled, meaning his disciples. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. As Treva was reading this week, she said, why in the world is that even in there? Why did they put that? And it's just to make you curious is all it's for. No, I'm teasing. But most people believe that that's John Mark himself, the writer of the gospel. So he's letting us, giving us some insight into who he is and basically what a coward he was at one time. He's the same guy that Barnabas and Paul got into such a disagreement about taking him because they took him on a missionary journey and he deserted them. And Paul said, we're not taking this guy again. It was a cousin to Barnabas. And Barnabas said, yes. And so they disagreed, and Barnabas took him and began to mentor him, and Paul went with Silas at that time. So we divide up, and we have two missionary journeys. Later on in Paul's later life, there's a scripture that says, send me John Mark, because he's profitable for the gospel. At one time, he's a coward. At one time, he's fleeing the garden naked, right? He's deserting them when times get tough. But later on in his life, because of a Barnabas, you hear the message of the Lord? Because a Barnabas came into his life and said, son, I see real value. Let me teach you some things. Then Paul says later on, send me John Mark. He's profitable. Guys, who does the Lord want you to mentor? Who does the Lord want you to spend your life into and teach them? I guarantee you there's someone. Verse 53 says, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribe. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but none were found. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witnesses against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest answered him, or ask him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, to beat him, to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter, warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You were there with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Father God, we come before you today. With excitement and brokenness. It seems to be a paradox going off in my heart today, God. God, in one part of me wants to just rejoice, and another part of me wants to throw out a warning. So God, I just pray, Lord, that you make sense of all of this. I pray that, God, that you would speak and that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying. May we be in tune with you, Lord, more than ever before. I believe that this is a sermon and a service that you want to change hearts. God, you want to set the captives free today. You want to set at liberty them that are bruised. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In your precious name I pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, Jesus looked at Peter one time and he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." When you return to me. Today we titled the sermon, "The Descent to Failure." The descent to failure. So we know that last week we studied and Jesus has spent at least a minimum of 3 hours praying over this night, "Not my will, thy will be done." Going back to the disciples several times and say, "Come on, wake up, pray for me. The hour is close, the hour is at hand. We need to be praying right now." But all they could find in their bodies was a time to sleep. Judas, whose life at this point is sort of running parallel to Peter, to Peter in a bit of an instance, you might say. Both of them deny Christ. Both of them have moral failures or spiritual failures. And Judas is a little, well, the Bible says that Satan entered Judas's heart at the communion table, that when he dipped his bread, Satan entered his body. And Jesus said, "Whatever you do, go do quickly." And he already had this plan in mind, that, and it's prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. It's exactly what Judas did. So he goes and he tells the guys, he said, "I'll point Jesus out to you by a kiss." Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's significant. I think that a kiss shows intimacy. We know that a kiss in this time was a common culture of showing good friends. Now, they didn't kiss everybody. You know, we see that on movies, and kissing each cheek. You don't kiss everybody, right? You kiss the intimate. You kiss the good friends, the ones that you haven't seen in a while. The others, you just greet with another. But people that you love, you greet with a kiss. More so in that day than today. We don't greet anyone in our house with a kiss. So if you come to the Acts 2:42 meeting, I will guarantee you I'll not meet you at the door with a kiss, okay? I will shake your hand, maybe bump elbows or something, but we are not kissing you at the door. But Judas goes up and Jesus even remarks with a kiss. You know, showing him his heart. So they come to get him, and Peter has got a little dagger. And Peter grabs out his dagger and he slices off Malchus's, which is the high priest's servant, slices off his ear. I believe he was aiming for his head, but he missed his head and got his ear. And Jesus told him, he said, put your sword up. You know, people that live by the sword is going to die by the sword. And he grabs that ear off the ground, picks it up. I mean, can you see all this playing? And still they arrested Jesus, puts the ear back on, it's healed. One story tells us, I believe it's in John, says that when they came to him, they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. And the whole group of them fell back when he said, I am. And they still arrested him. I mean, you talk about being blinded by Satan. These people were blinded by Satan. So then John Mark runs off, but all the disciples left him. There was only one disciple at the cross, which is just a few hours down the road here. And that was John. John was with Mary. But when Peter, finally, they kept asking him, saying, aren't you one of them? And he kept denying it. And finally, the third time, he cussed, trying to give proof that I am not one of them. Isn't that interesting? Come on, stay with me for a second. Isn't it interesting that the way Peter would absolutely show that I am not like him is by cussing? And today in the church, it's okay for Christians to cuss. Oh, don't you shake your head at me. It's absolutely okay. Come on. We have all kinds of bywords in the church house. It's okay. Thank God for His grace. And we wonder why the world has a hard time identifying us with Him, when the very thing that we're doing on a regular basis is what Peter did to show, I am not one of those people. It matters what comes out of your mouth. Even when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Yeah. Show grace. We don't talk like the world. Change it. Say, well, I just can't. I've been talking this way all my life. He can. Submit it to God. God, I don't like talking this way. We talked yesterday when we were at dinner. When I grew up, I said, well, I won't tell you what I said, but it wasn't a cuss word, but it was a slang word. Next thing I knew, I was picking myself up off the dining room table floor. Mama didn't like slang. But oh, we say slang all the time. Those of us that's really religious that say, hey, we don't cuss, but I say crap, and I say this, and I say that. Well, bless the Lord. It might not so much be what you're saying, but the intent of the heart. So what we want to talk about today is Peter's failure. That just bugs me. It's my OCD coming out, I know. Treva told somebody he's not OCD, but he sure lives in the neighborhood. So we want to talk about the descent to failure, but I want to tell you, first of all, this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit has been showing me this morning. We judge things as failures by actions. Well, so-and-so had an affair. It's a moral failure. That's a sin. It's a failure. Well, so-and-so got caught stealing. That's a failure. Well, this one did that, and it's a failure. We judge everything by actions. And the Lord says the action is for sure going to happen when the spirit is dry. So what you do, you see, if your spirit gets dry, it's only a matter of time before you wind up doing things that you would never have done before. Some of you don't believe that. But I'm telling you, you may be sitting here thinking, I would never do that. And that's the first point. We think we would never do it. Daryl Ramsey taught me this years ago. He said, Eric, when you get indifferent from God, with God, you'll be surprised the things that you do. The Bible says, like a dog returns to his vomit. So we talk about this as failure. Can I just say, maybe we should say backsliding. See, the church don't like to talk about backsliding because probably more than half of us don't even think it exists. Read your Bible. It exists. It happens. May I read a scripture to you? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says, "For if, after they escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ," that means after they were saved, "they are entangled again, or they are entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having been washed and wallowing in her mire." You want some more verses? If you'll read in Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1, going through chapter 4, we call it the letter to the churches. And Jesus says, "I know your first work. I know, but you are not in those anymore. You have departed from your first love. You have lost your first love." John, Jude chapter 1, verse 24. There's only one chapter in Jude. He says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, he is able to keep you from falling, but you are able to fall." Does that make sense? Say, Pastor, you're twisting scripture. No, I'm not twisting scripture at all. He wouldn't even have that verse in there if there wasn't the ability to fall. So I believe the Lord has directed me today to talk about backsliding. I wasn't going there at all. But this is what I believe. What are the steps to backsliding? Becoming indifferent with God. The first thing is, in Peter's heart, we're going to look at his life. In Peter's heart, there was conceit in his heart. Or you might say there was pride in his heart. In Matthew 26, it says, "Peter answered Jesus and said, 'Even if everyone else is made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.'" He did not see it in himself. "I will not do that." 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you except as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation will make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it." We become prideful in our walk with God. Now listen to me, because I know I'm talking to somebody. Some of you out there used to have it, but you don't have it any longer. Oh, come on. You think this makes me happy? It doesn't. You're living on yesterday's goods. You had a real relationship with Him at one time in your life. I mean, you love Jesus with all your heart, but now you've just got actions. The heart has left you. You got to wake up. You got to look at your heart. You got to look at your life and say, am I living my life in submission to Him, or am I just going through the actions? It's not good enough that you were sold out 10 years ago. What God says, He says, it is required in man that he be found faithful. When? At the end. He will be saved, he that endures to the end. It's not how great you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Will you finish it with faithfulness? Listen to the Spirit of God this morning. I'm telling you, there are people that the Spirit of God is speaking to today. And He's saying, that is you. But you don't want to hear it. None of us want to hear it. The very first steps in before that spiritual failure is we become prideful. We think we're something in God. When the truth of the matter is we're just a shell. The Spirit of God is no longer there. The second thing is we become complacent in spiritual things. Matthew 26:41. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The story of David starts like this. It says, "And when the kings went out to war, David stayed in the palace. And one day as he was walking on the roof terrace, he looks over and he sees a beautiful woman bathing. He looks at her and he begins to lust. He has 300 women in the house and whom he's married to. But he wants that one. He has her husband killed, brings her up, not in that order, brings her up, has sex with her, fathers a child with her, and then has to have her husband killed because her husband's an honorable man. Sin will take you further than you ever expect. You will do things that you never thought that you would do when you become cold and indifferent. Peter started sleeping through prayer meetings. I can't tell you how many times that I preach a sermon and that people are sleeping. There's rarely a service goes by that I just think that I would be hard to sleep through. I don't know. I don't like to hear myself preach. But I'm thinking, you've got to find a better time to sleep than when I'm preaching. Don't you think that possibly Satan might be behind that? Now, I know people have sicknesses. I know people push the candle way too far. You know, there was a time when Christians didn't miss church. And we didn't go one time a week. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other night the preacher got a wild hair. And you're going to count him being there. My, how we've changed. We have an annual business meeting today, and you know what my biggest fear coming to church was? We may not have a quorum. Because I'm not sure that we can get half of our members to church in one service anymore. Do you really think I ought to even have to think that way? Say, well, Eric, maybe we just got a bad church. No, we got a great church. It's a sign of the time. I'm trying to show you Satan is well working in this system today. We better wake up. Amen. The Bible says in the last times that God had to shorten it because he was concerned that the very elect would be deceived. What's he talking about? He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church being deceived. Hear the voice of the Spirit this morning. This is not meant in any kind of harshness at all. I just want you to hear what God is saying. So the first thing is pride comes in our heart. The second thing is we become complacent. The third thing is you're going to start noticing that works of the flesh begin to pop out in your life. Peter was, I always call him impetuous Peter. He was a guy that reacted. How many people are like that with a show of hands? How many people react to things? Yeah, that's my nature. My nature is to be a reactor. So I pray all the time, Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you 3 seconds and then I'm going to start speaking. So you better keep me quiet. You know, I tend to be impetuous also. But I feel like Peter had gone to a stage where he was beginning to conquer that until the complacency set in. And now we begin to see these works of the flesh begin to reappear in your life. Guys, open your eyes. Are you seeing things that you would not have done 10 years ago? Things that you are now doing, that you're now tolerating, that you're now making concessions for, that 10 or 15 years ago walking with Jesus, you would have said, there's no way I'll do that. I won't allow that movie in my house. But today it comes in. What's happening? Works of the flesh are coming back. Maybe the anger issue, the rage, the language is starting to reoccur in your life. And you're wondering, what's going on? You are complacent. Wake up. Matthew 26, fourth thing is we begin to follow at a distance. I think that is such a clever line in the scripture. Peter followed at a distance. How much of the church today is following at a distance? Say, Pastor, that's just vernacular. That's just the way they... I'm telling you, that's a line from the Holy Ghost. Are you following at a distance, Jesus? How closely are you walking with Him today? Have you noticed that you are trailing behind Him quite a distance? People used to stand up in the testimony service and said, God spoke to me about 6 months ago to do something and I didn't feel like I'm supposed to do that. No, sister, you were supposed to do that 6 months ago. You just told on yourself. When God spoke to Abraham, I don't know where this is coming. I do know where it's coming from. When God spoke to Abraham, He said, I want you to go sacrifice your son. You know what the next line says? Early the next morning, He saddled His donkey. Abraham knew something that we have forgotten. When God speaks, if God tells you to do something, do it! Don't start taking this in your mind thinking, well, I don't know, was that God or was that pizza? When you know it's God, you better follow His voice. Peter followed at a distance. Isn't that funny? He was right there. Jesus is in the house talking to the high priest. Peter's in the courtyard. He's curious. He wants to hear. He wants to see. That's the church today, guys. Oh, they've assembled together. About a third of the crowd is worshiping. About two-thirds of the crowd is sitting back watching. Oh, about 10% are praying. About 90% are watching. About 15% are giving. About 85% are not giving. We're following at a distance. And the distance is getting further. And guess what? We don't even know it. That's what's scary. We don't even know it. We've fallen asleep in Zion. And nobody wants to talk about it. But I'm telling you what, one day you'll stand before a master, before the judge. And I pray with all my heart that every one of you here, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. According to Scripture, some will not hear those words. Some will hear the words, I never knew you, depart from me. And some will say, but Lord, we cast demons out in your name. Who's that sound like? Sounds like people that was in the church house to me. Maybe this don't scare you. I'm telling you, it scares me. Number five, evil associations don't seem to bother us anymore. You know, there was a time when if the TV come off with a dirty word, we'd turn the TV off. GD was not allowed in our homes. John 18:18 says, "Now the servant and the officers who had made a fire cold stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Psalms 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." We begin to associate with people very differently than us, that have different standards. I'm always amazed at people that will date someone that's not a Christian. What are you thinking? The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. I said, "Well, I'm not marrying them." Oh, but you will. You know what? I never married anybody I didn't date. That's how it starts. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, do you? Don't date somebody that you're not thinking that you'll marry. Don't go into business with somebody that has different morals than you do. You'll lose. Even if you make all kinds of money, you're going to lose. Number six, our speech begins to betray us. He stood there warming himself in John 18:25. And they said, "Are you one of his disciples?" And he said, "I am not." You can't imagine doing that, can you? Can you, Christian? Listen, come on, look at me. I know conviction sitting in your heart because nobody's going to look at me. I'll just get a little closer. Look at me. Can you imagine saying, no, I'm not a Christian. I can't imagine that. Even if somebody is saying it in a derogatory way, you don't really believe that, do you? Yes, I really believe that. I don't care whether it makes them happy. Yes, I love Jesus with all my heart. I cannot imagine saying, "I don't know him." I'm here to tell you today, those words will come out of your mouth if you don't keep your heart right with God. We judge things by actions, and I'm here by the Spirit of God to tell you, before the action happens, something happens in your hearts. We got to take care of the heart issues. The actions will always follow the hearts. You don't have to worry about cussing. You don't have to worry about denying Christ. You don't have to worry about telling dirty jokes and doing all the things that sinners do if you'll keep your hearts. If you stay in love with Jesus, stay in connection with Him, live in community with Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? The last thing is, eventually we're headed for an open denial. Mark 14:70-71. "But he denied it again. A little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean. Your speech shows it.' He began to curse and swear, 'I don't know this man.'" I can't imagine. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. When Jesus rose from the dead, He said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Even Jesus was saying, "He's out of contact with me right now. But you make sure you tell Peter." Found him on the beach one day. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Can you imagine Peter's heart? Jesus, I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Well, Jesus, you know I love you. Go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Three times. What's that all about? There has to be something made right. Three times he denied him. Three times. Now he has to say, I love him. Are you getting this? 2,500 people died in rebellion in the Old Testament. On the day of Pentecost, 2,500 people got saved. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God makes things right. Acts chapter 4, Peter is preaching. Isn't it funny? Not funny. Isn't it interesting that the guy who denies Christ after Pentecost is the guy who stands up and preaches the message where 2,500 people get saved? That's the Holy Ghost. He says in Acts 4, 10, then 12 and 13, he says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Nor there is any salvation in any other. This is verse 12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. It ain't about you. There's a treasure in earthen vessels that the power, the excellence of His power may be seen in us. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, she ain't that smart. Where's that wisdom coming from? So that Jesus Christ can be glorified. Galatians 6:1 says this, brother, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, so it fulfills the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of love. It's the royal love. So we talk about the descent. I wanted to mention, what do we do? What does the church do when someone falls? We restore. Can I say this? We restore without judgment. We don't say, you should have known better than that. Well, of course they should have. And so should you. But the truth of the matter is, we've been following at a distance. We've been sleeping through prayer meetings. Things are happening in our lives that we're just not aware. This is signs that I'm not the person I used to be. So when those things happen, I just want to tell you today, by the Spirit of God, the actions will happen, I promise you. Don't wait till there's adultery in your marriage. React now. Stir up the coals of love. Stir up your heart to God. People don't just jump into bed with somebody. There's a moral failure after the spiritual failure. They get indifferent with God first. Then they steal from their employer. Then they commit adultery. Then they do things that they thought they would have never done. First it happens in the heart. Getting clear? So what do we do in those things? We say, brother, I noticed you hadn't been at prayer. I'm not trying to judge you, but I miss you. Hey, when's the last time you prayed? Are you reading your Bible? Well, I know you don't. Are you reading? She does read it right. Oh, Hail Mary, full of grace. That one's going to cost me. We're concerned with each other, not to judge each other, to encourage each other to good works. But when it happens, don't stand in judgment. Rescue. Rescue. Pull them out of the fire is what Jude says. There's people in this church today that need rescuing. They need to know someone cares that they're following at a distance. But does anybody even notice? Does anybody notice I'm drowning? If you were in a restaurant and someone did this, what would you do? You would grab them and begin to do the Heimlich, right? They've got something lodged in their throat. This happens all the time in church. I'm choking to death. I'm dying. And nobody comes to rescue me. Why is that? Do we not care? We care. I know we care. We are afraid of getting too involved. I'm telling you, we better get involved. There are some that I've known most of my life, and you're not the same person. You're a dead man walking, but you don't even know it. That breaks my heart. I didn't sign up for preaching like that. I didn't sign up to preach like this either. But love compels me to tell the story. Stand with me. I know you're here. I know you're here. I know there's people that should respond to this. I also know human nature says I ain't responding to that because I don't want people to know that. Sister Marlin told us yesterday at dinner, she said, my husband would invite everybody to the altar. Because when everybody comes to the altar, God touches people. I want you to step out of your pew. I want you to come and stand at the altar. You're going to have to crowd in. The Spirit of the Lord has spoke today. Do you realize how concerned He is with you? Do you understand how much the Lord loves you? To preach a sermon like that. Those are not easy to preach and they're not easy to hear, I know. But God loves you enough. He wants to rescue today those that are following at a distance. Those that are speaking like you used to speak, not like a Christian speaks. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I believe this is between you and Him. But I pray that you use this time wisely. Can I just ask you one question? If the trump of the Lord sounded right now, do you have any concerns that you would make it? Because if you do, you're following at a distance. You see, I believe this. I believe that Jesus will not be number two. He must be number one. He must be top priority in your life. my spiritual father told me this. He said, when you add anything to Jesus, you come up with a minus. It's not a plus. Jesus plus anything else is a minus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. God, I believe we need to do some praying, folks. I believe we need to do some crying out for each other. I believe Jesus wants to restore some folks today. There's no judgment in this house. You understand me? There go I, except for the grace of God. There go I. The preacher saying this. There go I. If I stop reading my Bible and if I stop praying and I start attending church once every once in a while, oh, I go the same direction. I will be Peter. I know Eric. Eric's not the person you know and you want to love. But I know him. You hear me? I know him. And I don't want you to know him. I want you to know the Jesus inside of Eric. The new man, not the old man. Will you throw your hands up in the air? Let's pray a prayer of repentance. God, help us to be the people we're supposed to be. God, I pray, Lord, I know I've delivered what the Spirit of God has laid on my heart. God, I know, Lord, there's things that come out of my mouth today that were not Eric. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I know people were picking this up in the Spirit, God. I know I could see on their faces, Lord, that they were hearing the Spirit of God. Our hearts were in tune with you. Now, God, we pray, forgive us. Forgive us that we've been following a distance. Forgive us that we have pushed you to the back corner of our heart. God, I pray, restore to us the joy of your salvation. Restore to us the life that we used to live. Let our language be clean. Let our life be clean. Let us be pleasing in your sight. Let us be found faithful. Jesus, we repent. We repent. Forgive us. Forgive us of carelessness. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of complacency. Forgive us of not caring. Forgive us of not attending faithfully the house of God. God, it's not a choice, it's a demand. Forgive us, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would make our hearts right right now. Spirit of God, deal with each one of us. Let our hearts be broken. Let our hearts be broken. You said a broken and contrite spirit you will receive. Let our hearts be broken for you, Jesus. God, receive us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that does not know you as Savior, that, Lord, they ask you right now to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart, to be Lord and Savior, that they want to follow you. They want to imitate you all their life. Not imitate other Christians, but imitate you. God, I pray for those of us that's been serving the Lord for a long time. God, help us not to be indifferent. Lord, I'm not too worried about those that's been saved a short time. I'm worried about those that grew up on the pew. I'm worried about those that came through the Sunday school classes, that it's been 20 and 30 years. And God, we have been following at a distance. God, restore salvation to us. Jesus, I don't know how other way to pray it. Restore to us the priority that Jesus is Lord. All other things are secondary to Jesus being Lord in our life. Lord and Savior. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.